Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Joel, big picture here, we are continuing to see a sell-off. One could even argue a bit of a meltdown in financial markets, and it really doesn't matter if you're in risk-on or risk-off. I'm seeing a lot of red on my screen. Just recapping some of the moves this year, starting with U.S. equity markets. The S&P, that's close to being down 20% this year. NASDAQ, that was weak even before entering this year, but that's down almost 30% just this year. Small caps, they're also down over 20% this year. Overall, we're seeing one of the more dramatic moves down that we have really ever seen to start a year. And there doesn't seem to be any maybe light at the end of the tunnel or beacon of hope for investors, as this has come so quickly. And we still have central banks, it sounds like, sticking to their tightening policies. Can't just blame the central banks here, but they are playing a big role in this sell-off. Joel, what's your takeaway from this continued weakness, financial market-wise, but especially in U.S. markets?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, gentlemen. I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I mean, you know, a rising interest rate environment creates competition, for stocks. And a lot of people, you know, nervous about the markets moving, into assets now where you can get 2, 2.5, even 3%. You've had a continuation of the value or lack of value trade come off. Stocks getting whooped even today. Upstart, Peloton. It's just, the market is coming back to reality as far as valuations. You know, we're not even mentioning what's going on in the war in Ukraine. So there's just, the market started out at the beginning of the year on a negative tone, and it's just continued. We lost the March lows, and that was kind of what we were hanging our hat on, and now that's gone in the wayside. So I wish I could give you a number. I wish I could give you a level. I wish I could, there's something I could say to help you sleep better at night, but there really isn't. I try and look at things from a longer term perspective. And yeah, you could call the March 2020 low in the S&P at 2100. You could call that a fart, a fake low, right? It wasn't fake because it traded there. And, extreme undervaluation at that level. When we got to 48.18, was it overvalued, right? Was it just, that the upside capitulation? So where's the fair value in between those two levels? And, for me, being a big fan of 50% retracements, and I look at the monthly charts, there's not much under 4,000. And that 50% retracement comes in at 3,500. So until the market proves that it can, put in a formidable bottom, and I'll look at these other monthly lows too. I see a pair of monthly lows at 37.25. Until the market can turn, and what I mean turn is don't have a down day like we had yesterday and then open up 75 handles, 80 handles. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way you build a foundation. That's not the way you get a bull market. The way you create a bull market is you have a day like yesterday, and then you test the lows in the morning and you hold the lows and you creep up a little bit. And then you do the same thing the next day. So right now, there's nothing showing me a bottoming formation. But of course, that all could change with the CPI number tomorrow.
Well, Joel, a lot for investors to think over here and mull over. One of the things you said, though, was that, that flash crash back in 2000 for the pandemic may have been a fake low. Obviously, it did trade down there, but it wasn't really a correction in the classical sense. Like, yeah, it corrected by 20%, but it was a quick V-shaped rebound, and it really wasn't a real corrective move. What we've seen since November of last year in the markets has been more of a traditional correction where it keeps ratcheting down and then it bounces up and ratchets down more and bounces up and ratchets down more. But you also talked about valuations. Do Do you really think that people are paying attention to the valuations, or is it really more of a technical trading pattern right now? Because it seems like most of the algos, most of the traders, most of the funds are trading off technical analysis more so than just strictly fundamentals right now. So have we shifted from a fundamental headline driven market to more of a technical trading range market?
I think I'll take the other side of the coin on that one. I think that, you're having technical breakdowns in the market, but the technical breakdowns are happening in a lot of stocks that are just extremely overvalued. And that, Upstart, Peloton, I mean, the list goes on and on. I could just say ARK, Cathie Wood. The market, I mean, it got away with it. ARK under 40. You got away with it during the pandemic. Everyone was home with their stimulus money, and, it was a big game. Wall Street was a big video game, and you just played it. And now, no. Now you're finding out that, valuations don't matter until they matter. And now they're mattering, and you're seeing what's happened in the market. So, yeah, I think the fundamentals always preclude the technicals. And now, with your technicals here, you're just trying to find the bottom in these stocks, and it's very difficult to do. So I think, a rude awakening for people. We've lost a whole nother generation of investors now, similar to what happened during the financial crisis. And these people are going to be soured. They're going to be soured on the markets. I mean, I know everyone got rich on Twitter. I'm not talking to the people that got rich on Twitter. I'm talking to all these other people that, we call them bag holders. So a lot of technical damage done to the market, a lot of fundamental damage done to the market, and then I'll just cap it off with psychological damage done to the market. So those three things are not a recipe for, a rip-roaring rally.
Joel, we're talking a lot about U.S. markets here, but it's not just U.S. markets. And to your point about investors being soured on these markets, it doesn't matter what they're in. If they were in commodities, look at something like Dr. Copper. That's down almost 20% in about 2 months. Zinc, that's down right around 20% too. Energy, oil prices, they are all over the place as well. But they have a bit more of a downtrend, at least in the last month or so. That's the biggest problem here. Have you seen an environment like this where it really is just a rush for the exits? When can you relate this to in history?
Oh, boy. I mean, obviously the financial crisis is, is one thing. But, it's just crowded trades is really what it comes down to, right? Everyone's piling into utilities, right? That makes absolutely no sense, right? In a rising interest rate environment, why the hell you want to own utilities? But they had some yield. The safety trade in oil, big oil, reinforced by Warren Buffett. But you drill down to the fundamentals. If you have a slowing economy, if you're having a potential recession, do you need high-priced oil? Are people going to be traveling as much? Are people going to be flying as much? So you had a lot of crowded trades in there, consumer staples. You have something like Costco comes in $100. So everybody was hiding out, crowded trade, hiding out in the same place. And then, hide and seek was over. And also a combination of things last week. And I commented with my buddy Dennis, we lost our leadership. Everyone was complaining, oh, the market's just, being led up by Apple and Microsoft and Google. Well, you know what? We lost them. We lost Google after its last earnings report. Apple had a good report, couldn't hold. Microsoft, it's broke that 270 level now, and, that's already off its all-time high. As I mentioned, Amazon, Tesla hanging in there. So, that limited breath, took us on the way up is bad breath on the way down. And we lost our major leadership, and the crowded trades are coming off. So come on, guys, you start me get all bearish again. I'm trying to be optimistic, but when there's nowhere to hide, there's nowhere to hide. You could say cash is trash, but you're losing, 2, 3, 4% a day, at least in cash. You're losing out to inflation, but at least you're not, you know, at least you don't have to see it on your statements.
That's true, Joel, and inflation is more of the silent eroder over time that people don't pay as much attention to until they go shopping at a grocery store or go to their gas pump or look at the cost they're paying for 8 different streaming services, et cetera. But we do have that number coming in where a lot of people expect it to maybe start coming down over time, the rate of change in inflation, and that maybe if you look at last summer when things really started heating up, when we look at this summer, it's going to take a lot to get it to stay at that same rate of increase. So do you think that that may be a positive factor for the markets if we start seeing the rate of inflation at least start trending down? And could that give the Fed a little bit more impetus to take a victory lap that, hey, it's working?
Yeah, you know, do you guys remember, and, you know, I hate to put the same kind of emphasis on something, but do you remember, I believe it was November 7th of 2020. Do you remember what happened that day?
Give me a hint here, Joel. What is?
Well, think about, I'll give you a little test here. So what was going on in 2020?
Shutdowns, lockdowns, pandemics, right. They were starting to reopen.
Yep. Yeah, okay. And then bring up my data window here. And then in November, I believe it was November 7th or November 10th, what happened? What happened in the market? I believe the actual day that it was announced was November 6th. And what was the price action? November 6th, and it was over a weekend. November 9th, we had a nice up day in the market. You know what that was?
I'm guessing fiscal support, some sort of spending package.
No, that's when Pfizer
came out with the vaccines. Yeah.
So I don't know if you're going to have a Pfizer moment tomorrow or a vaccine moment, but that's kind of, you know, it's kind of on par. You know, where you're looking for, there's no positive catalyst out there right now, right? So you need one positive catalyst. And right now, that's the only thing we have to hang our head on is, you know, just some kind of a good number. It does not look like, you know, things are going to be changing with the war. I mean, you're seeing that Russian military continues to struggle with poor morale, refusal to obey orders. I mean, who knows what you're hearing over there? I mean, so that's it. We need a catalyst. We need a positive catalyst, and we need one in a big way.
All right. Not much more to talk about there, Joel. I think you're right. We do need some sort of catalyst, maybe a black swan, but to the good side of things to give some support to these markets. But boy, oh boy, it's tough out there right now, and there really isn't any sector that you're doing well in. So we'll chat next week, and who knows where this week will even end. For markets, for commodities, broadly for investors, as undoubtedly more and more investors are just simply getting out of these markets and turning their back on them. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Great, thank you.